Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday Sinbin on Triple M. Paul Kent, Hoopsie, Gordon Tallis, Maroon, and we're going to talk about this game last night in Townsville. Cowboys beaten by the Roosters, 28 points to 4 for the Roosters. A lot of the usual suspects back to their best. Now, three Cowboys players were sin-binned in the game. So before I go to the boys, I want to play you some audio from NRL coach of the Cowboys, Toddy Payton. Had something to say about the big end of town clubs and the clubs that are struggling. Have a listen.
There were some calls tonight, 50-50 calls that went against us. And, you know, Titans head coach a couple of weeks ago made a, you know, comment, and I agree with him. You know, teams that have been up the pointy end of the competition for a while now or have high-profile players get the benefit of the doubt too often, and that's frustrating. And that's my opinion over watching footy for a long time.
All right, Paul, Kent, I'm going to start with you. Basically, obviously, he's saying, you know, the big end of town, the clubs that are always near the top, Manly, I should say Melbourne, South, Roosters, they always get a better rub of the green.
I've been saying it for years.
Yeah, I know.
I believe
it. Yeah.
I've been saying it for years. And I don't think it's anything sinister from the referees. I think it's just an unconscious bias, which is what it is. They tend to think that the better teams are going to perform better. And so, therefore, they're a little bit more damning of what the lower ranked teams are. I think it's just in them. And how you fix it, I don't know. I know, you know, look, I often used to have this argument with Bill Harrigan about whether referees are allowed to actually do, game plan certain teams.
Homework on players.
And Billy used to say it was okay because that way if a guy, say, for example, likes to roll the ball through rather than put his foot on, they can look for it. I don't agree with it. I think the referee is there to officiate what he actually sees. So that's one problem of the game. But the other problem is that there is this unconscious bias where they expect certain performances, I suppose, out of certain teams, and they inevitably get the benefit of those 50-50 calls.
I agree with Kenty, right? And it does happen. And I've been at the Titans. I was at South Sydney, and you know that you go to a game and you don't get the 50-50 because sides don't believe that you can beat that, or like referees must subconsciously go out there and think, well, they're the better side, they should get it. And it's true to the other theory that the good sides have better discipline. That's why they're a better side. The good players have better discipline and can hang in the battle longer. When you're playing a lesser side, they feel the pressure a little bit more. So they start doing things that they shouldn't do. Like they're not controlling the ruck. They don't have, you know, the same power or whatever in their running. So they don't control it as well. So they start to give away cheap and silly penalties. So there is that part of it as well. But I certainly do agree that the better sides do get the better rub of the green. I watched it with Penrith the other night.
It's not even about talent though, Gordon. It's just sometimes you see an incident. And I'll tell you what has sort of helped fix it somewhat is the challenge system where the team can go, well, no, we actually didn't drop the ball. It was knocked out.
Yes.
And then they can go to the video referee and he can have a look at it and say, yes, challenge successful. So that's helped modify it a little bit, moderate it a little bit, sorry. But I don't know how you fix it. I don't think it's a conscious thing. As I said, I think it's an unconscious bias where you just expect the better teams to be better.
You can even go, like it's been going on forever, and you can go back as far as when Wally Lewis used to play, he often would be able to have quite lengthy conversations with referees. Cameron Smith was the king of it. Like we all used to joke about referee Cameron.
Alan Langer was offside his whole career.
There you go. Yeah.
Seriously. He was offside about half a metre or a metre. And I'd come on, Alf, and he'd go, you referee and I'll play. And Alf would just, and the ball wasn't even going his way. You know, and then when it was serious,
that's
like
a problem,
though,
Gordy. That's a problem. See, what the teams have found out is if you stand offside on one side of the ruck, and the NRL took them some time to actually understand
work
this.
Work it out.
Yeah,
he's out of the plate.
They'd say, well, the ball didn't go that way, so we don't want to ruin the game with constant penalties. But what they didn't understand, and they now do, is if one side of the ruck's offside and the other half's onside, and the ball goes to where it's onside, the NRL go, oh, well, it didn't affect because they went away from where they're offside. We don't want to blow a penalty. But what they were actually doing was unconsciously
sneaking up.
They were forcing the attack to go a certain way.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
The dummy half looked up, see they're offside on one side, and teams started using that as a tactic. And part of the problem, you know, part of my concern, obviously, with all this is that teams, once they know how to play the referee, they work on playing the referee. And we bring in a new rule, and the referees will go, okay, this is a new rule. And they don't go away and say, okay, well, this is a new rule, we can't do this anymore. They go away and they think about a way to get around it. And I think it's really cynical that the coaches do that, and I don't think they should be allowed to do that. And the only way you can actually stop that is to actually just start putting blokes in the bin.
Yeah.
You know, and that brings the other question, though, of whether there's this unconscious bias, as last night, where the wrong players or one side seemed to be getting judged more harshly than the other side.
If you ask any referee in the history, if they're refereeing a grand final State of Origin, they're easy games to referee than the Tigers and Titans, say, on Thursday night.
Why is that, Gordy?
Well, better quality players?
Yeah, I think the better quality players tend to work a bit more with you.
Mm.
So... but they put the best referee on with the best games.
I know.
So then they're the easier games to referee. So wouldn't you sort of mix it up a little bit and not say put the worst referee, but isn't it better for him to be referee in that game and the better quality referee in the game that's harder to be ref?
Mm. I've spoken to Annesley about this before, who's now the head of football at the NRL, and he's talked to me about certain games. And look, I won't use this. I won't say this as the example because this is some while ago this conversation took place. But for example, if you look at the Tigers-Titans game the other night, often when you have two like lower-ranked teams, what happens is they struggle to get back their 10 metres, so they'll only be getting back 9. Now, the good teams will get back 10, hit the 10, and they're ready to go again. And when it's good against bad, the good team will get back their 10, they make it, the bad team won't get back, and the referee's got to start interfering. But when you've got two teams that just are playing a poor game together, like the other night, and there's things going on, sometimes the referee makes a decision to just let things just... if they're not neither side's getting back 10 because basically they just don't have it in them. They just don't have it in them. And I'm not going to now ruin the game by keep pinging them every time they struggle to get back. So they sort of just say, look, I'm just going to let the game run on. But that's where we have the problem with the game, because do we have the black and white adjudication of the rules? Or do we allow the referee to have some latitude? Now, the good referees can let the game, and they can just work with the players and just basically let the game flow and still be fair, and the game moves on. The bad referees can't quite do that. And the minute they make a judgment call against one side that they hadn't made earlier against the other, that's when you get incidents like last night where the coach says, mate, we are not getting a fair go. And that does happen.
I actually, like I said it 5 years ago, the referee should not be mic'd. The referees, I don't need to hear it at home, even though, you know, Fox and Channel 9, like, it's been great. And and our fans and all our members sitting at home on the couch watching the game, it's like they're actually there. I think we take that away from them simply because when I first come in and if I made a mistake, right, or the referee made a mistake and they did, they say, hey, mate, I got that wrong. And the referee would say it, and I heard him say it, not every game, hey, mate, I got that wrong. You get the next 50-50. Frustration out of the game. We packed the scrum and we went on with it. You didn't sit there and argue and challenge. Yeah. Then what happened was there was a better relationship with the referees. Yeah. So players would just be talking. No one knew what was said. And I thought that it protected the referee more than the players. And now that we've got the mic, I don't need to hear the conversation between, oh, come on, sir, go away.
Well, the old square up doesn't exist anymore, Gordon, to your point. The old square up where a referee would get a call wrong, he'd realise he got the call wrong, and the player go, mate, you know he knocked it on. And the referee go, yeah, I missed it. But next time there was that call, that situation, they generally come your way.
Absolutely.
And they'd be able to go, righto, you've got this one, and off you go. That doesn't happen now because he's mic'd up. Everybody's listening to what he's saying. Everybody can hear it.
He can't say that to you.
He can't say, mate, don't worry, mate, you'll get the next one.
Mm.
But that used to happen, and the referees had a greater sense of the game and the situation of the game, then
they're allowed to. And then you go to the toss, Kenty, and this is what I love,
right? Gordon, they've got so much going on in their brain now. Yeah. They've got so much information you're coming in their ear. I was at the footy one day, and they accidentally left the referee's line open with the sports ears.
Mm. It was like air traffic control.
It was like air traffic control. It was constant.
Ground control.
And you wonder, how does this guy actually get in the rhythm of the game with the players and actually begin to have some sort of feel for the game when he's constantly being pulled out of it by the words in his ear? Now, again, I've been told that they've pulled that back a bit, that they don't get there as often as they do. But it's still an annoyance.
Well, the other thing that is happening these days as well, because of the technology, to your point earlier, Gordy, is the best players have got it down to a fine art. The process of being able to slow the game down, gamesmanship, talk to the referee, argue about a decision or a moment or whatever it is that is on the table at the time. I reckon it has, like Cameron Smith was the best we've probably all ever seen at it. But it has, since the six again rule came in, it has sort of dissipated a little bit.
Yeah, mate, and it's got the players for every decision walking up. Mate, you're offside, go away. Yeah. Oh, but, and they'd walk up, and it's only to give their team a rest. I like the way they can, you know, do the reset.
The problem with the game is in this search for consistency, and everybody wants consistency, okay? Mm-hmm. So what happens then in this search for consistency is coaches say, righto, mate, they'll clip up a few videos where they got penalised for holding down too long in the play the ball. And they'll send that into the NRL and they'll say, what's wrong here? And the NRL will say, you held them down too long. And they'll say, well, how long are we allowed to hold them down for? And they'll put a time or they'll put an indicator whether at the time – if you remember, it began where players just used to lay like a dead weight on the tackled player. Mm. Then the NRL said, look, you've got to start showing some movement to get up. You're not allowed to just lay there like a dead weight. So the players started to then, what they did, they started to spin around. And they weren't actually moving to get up. They were just moving for the sake of moving. They spin around like a hand on a clock. Then the NRL cottoned on to that, got rid of it. But in this need for consistency, what ends up happening within that is they don't sit there and work to say, okay, this rule's to get them off the tackle players there to make the game flow faster. Let's do it. The coaches say to the NRL, well, how long are we allowed? And the NRL say, for example, go 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So they then train to do it for 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. They don't train to do it for 2.5 or 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. They train to do it for 3. And it's a cynical way that we're going in this game where in the old days you'd have referees, because we're consistent, we're trying to bring up every referee to adjudicate the same. The players and the coaches then know what they can work within to exploit that decision. Yeah. In the old days, you'd have a referee and you turn up before the game and the coach would say, righto, Bill Harrigan's referee today. He loves a big 10 metres, so make sure you all get back. Okay? So everyone.
And they tell you at the toss, Kenty. So you go to
tell
the
you at the toss. Yep. The other thing, the next week, it'd be Mick Stone as referee and Mick Stone would want a quick play the ball. So, okay.
Get off them, boys.
Get off. And that's what it'd be about. So you had referees had their own little quirks about how they like to adjudicate and how they like to get the game moving along according to how they do it. And it's within their rules. And again, the 10 metres is different from a quick play of the ball. Yeah. They're both part of the same game, but some referees just had their little picadillos about what they preferred. But what ends up happening is now we're trying to make every referee the same. The minute one doesn't, then there's a complaint made about it, and there's video sent in to the referee's boss. Give us an explanation. And what's happened is not out of this, we don't actually get a better game because of this. What we do is we get teams now working to exploit the rules within the parameters that the game is giving them. And it's a cynical way that they're being coached, and it's a cynical way the game's being played. But in this search for perfection and consistency, which is impossible, it's impossible to get it.
I would actually stop the coaches being able to ring the refs. When I worked at South, and it was a long time ago, I don't want to keep on going back there, but Johnny Lang, I thought we got the raw end of the deal. I said, Johnny, you got to ring. He goes, how's that going to help? He goes, all it's going to do is then the guy that I've said made those mistakes, his boss is going to go tell him next time he's not going to give us anything.
Yeah.
He goes, he knows that he made the mistakes. He go and have a look at it. Maybe next time and it was just great advice.
That's so Johnny one Lang, attitude, Dave Gordon. The other attitude is some coaches absolutely hammer them every Monday morning, and it's a bullying tactic.
Absolutely.
It's a bullying tactic. They just inundate them with video clips. Why did we not get this? Why do we not get that? And
who
it's
are
a
you
bullying
talking
tactic.
About?
To that
well,
point,
there's a few of them. There's a few of them, though.
There's some, right? Let's say they play Sunday Arvo, right? The game will literally finish. Some of the coaches will be on the phone to Graham Annesley before they've even gone into the press conference to start the bombardment.
And they do
because
that.
Because that's what they do. They just strong arm and just absolutely hammer them in
that's
the hope
you
that next week you get a bit of
rubber
to
the group.
Just
give them my number.
Well, yeah,
I'm serious. I would love it. Just for 1 month, I'd love the NRL say, they ring me. Oh, mate, they won't like that.
Well, they're ringing David Fairley now.
They'll hear the chinking of schooner glass.
David Fairley's former international player, and he's obviously now working with the referees, and he's had experience in the coaching box, and he's the conduit now between the referees themselves and the coaches. But I think what we need to do is adopt a system much like the NFL where you are allowed to send in 3 clips maximum. So you pick which ones you
do. Yeah,
they have a have a cap. You're allowed to send in three clips every week.
That's it. Yeah.
And that's it. You're not allowed, like some coaches send in 17, 18, 31, 32 from every game. From every game. Can you imagine sitting there?
So three clips, or make it five, right? So let's make it three to five, whatever it is. But you can't ring. You can't ring and explain it. He's the boss.
Yeah.
Mate, it's probably like those parents that go there, mate, when your kid's stupid like me and you go and complain about his report card. I didn't listen. I didn't listen to that. Yeah, but then your mum goes, oh, look. So then that's what's happening. The players make more mistakes than the referees. Have for as long as rugby league's going, players miss more tackles than the referees let in, you know.
Well, look at that game on Thursday night.
Mate, a glass eye went to sleep in that. Fair dinkum, mate. I love the Titans, but a glass eye fell asleep. That's how boring that game was.
And that's an issue. It's an issue.
So if I was the boss, they can't talk to them. They can't talk about referees at any time because young kids are walking away from their game because the under 16, 14, 13 coach at every local club think that they can do it. The players think that they can do it. All those young players think that they can, you know, talk to the officials like that. And more importantly, go back to when you walk down in the toss, he tells both captains, this is what I'm looking forward like today. So we knew that Bill was a big 10 or whatever it was. So, boys, no hands around the ruck. We want really clean play of the balls and back your 10.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Simple.
It's got to happen. I just think the game's got to get in control and start telling coaches to bugger off a bit. I know the coaches, look, they like it in there with the referees because they get – I'll tell you, this is something I'll – see what your thoughts are on this. I spoke to one of them in there one day and I said, what about all these complaints? And he said, well, we actually don't mind. I said, why? He said, because they all give each other up.
Right.
So they all say, did you watch them do this last week? Yeah. So all the little tactics to start coming into the game, they all give each other up. Like, it's just, honestly, there was no betting with that, was there? But that's what they do. So they sit there and they'll give each other up. So
take
that way they're... The coaches actually get an understanding. The referees actually get an understanding of where coaches are trying to cheat in the game because they'll go, oh, did you watch that Manly game last week? Or did you watch that South game last week? And off they go.
Boys, we might get a chance to come back because we might want to talk about this forward pass technology. But we'll take a break now because when we come back, we've got another NRL player to join us. Warriors star Sean Johnson. He's back at the Warriors and he joins us next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.